prayer. Appreciate the song service, and I ask an interest in your prayers as we come before you tonight. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to us saying, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I started to say, I don't know about you, but I kind of think I do. I feel like I come short in doing that. You know what I mean? Now, it doesn't take long to pray, does it? If you hear a report of someone sick or some accident or some illness has been diagnosed or some problem like that, our heart just immediately goes out to them. And we pray for them because we have a prayerful attitude. And to a great extent, I believe that's what that means. Is to have a mind and a toward others and a desire, thinking about the Lord and asking for his help and blessings, not only, certainly not just for ourselves, but for those around us and those we hear about who stand in need of the Lord's blessings. We need that all day long. We don't need to get carried away with the things of this world. We need to be mindful. Now we've got our responsibilities. We have to do those things. But we can go about it with a prayerful attitude, can't we? Pray without ceasing. I want to take some time tonight, since we're studying scriptures. I want to take some time to think about what a day in the life of prayer would be like if we're trying to obey this verse of scripture. To pray without ceasing. Now, when I'm done, I'm sure there'll be plenty more to say. There's plenty more aspects to this, I'm sure, than we'll get to tonight. But I've chosen some scriptures to look at by topic. But we know if we're going to have a prayerful day and a prayer-filled day, we got to get an early start, don't we? I mean, that's just the best way to start your day. Lord, I need you today. You know, David felt that way, didn't he? But before we get to, I'll go ahead and tell you, Psalm 5, oftentimes, I compare prayer to like tuning up an instrument. If you're going to have an occasion to use an instrument, you don't tune it up after it's done, or after you're over using it. You tune it up in preparation for that. Well, prayer has a way of tuning our mind and our heart, doesn't it? As we get our soul in frame, that helps us. So prayer will help us to tune up, so to speak, our soul for the day. And what a difference it makes. There are times when the phone rings early in the morning, and you know you've got to rush out and do something, and maybe you've got a morning routine that you like to take care of, but something has happened and you're not able to take care of that. Now, it doesn't necessarily ruin your day, but it sure is an adjustment, isn't it? I like to spend time early in the day praying. It just seems like to me that's just the best time to pray. Now, like I said earlier, we want to have a prayerful mind and heart all day long. But I like to spend time early in the day. Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Now, this is not the opinion of David. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God that's telling us here what David has pinned down for us here when he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Praying in the morning. It's a good thing. You know, we have the example, I don't have the address, I'm forgetting now just where it is, but we have the record in the scriptures where Jesus would oftentimes be spending time in prayer early in the day. Jesus taught us, give us this day our daily bread. Well, if I'm going to need daily bread, I need it early in the day, not late in the day. In the morning, praying. What a good time that is. So, in the morning, it's a wonderful time to be lifting up thanksgiving and praise to our God. Thanksgiving and praise. All right? Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's wonderful admonition, isn't it? I will bless the Lord at all times. Job did that, didn't he? Even in his affliction, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could we be of such a mind if we had lost the things that the scripture says that Job had lost? Would we have such a mind? Well, if we did, it would be by the grace of God, wouldn't it? And so, bless the Lord at all times. We certainly, when there's times when we're rejoicing, it's easy to bless the Lord, isn't it? But in our afflictions, that also has a way of drawing us closer to the Lord. You know, afflictions have a way of either making us bitter or better. Heard that a long time ago, and I've tested that a few times in the years since, and I've found it faithful. But what a blessing when we can bless the Lord at all times. And when our heart and our mind is on Him, and when we're walking closely with Him, that it's a lot easier, even in our afflictions, to remember to bless the name of our God. Thanksgiving is good for us to render at all times. In everything, give thanks, we're told in scriptures, right? In everything. And so as we think about Ephesians 5 and 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied that we've experienced things in our lives that we didn't feel like thanking God for. But like we've talked about with Job, even in his afflictions, he blessed the name of the Lord. The Lord is always good. You know, we hear that expression, the Lord's good all the time. I had one of Sister Nancy or Sister Dolores' cousins one time said, that's not in the Bible. I don't think I was quick enough on my feet or in my mind to think about it, but I thought about that later because it bothered me. Well, it may not; those words may not be in the Bible, but it's certainly biblical. He's good, and he doesn't change. So he's good all the time. I'll take that any day. He's good, and he doesn't change. He cannot change. All right? So even if our circumstances are not good, that doesn't mean God's not good. And I know people, I've heard people, and I've trembled sometimes when I've heard some people in their agony charge God foolishly. Maybe you've heard it too. It bothered me. But if I'd experienced such a tragedy as they had, I might have been saying the same things. That doesn't make it right. I'm just saying, God is good all the time. We can thank him and we can praise him no matter what our circumstances may be. And so we need to remember that. And as we're walking closer to the Lord, we will remember that. As far as praising the Lord, Psalm 8. Psalm 8, the first verse and the last verse of that psalm. Almost the same words. There's another expression on the first verse, but verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I love that verse. I just love to quote that verse and just muse on it for a while. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. We could even say in heaven too. So we think about excellency, giving praise and thanksgiving. What a way to begin our day. When Jesus gave us the model prayer, remember how it began? Sure you do. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. That's only reserved for our Father. That's only reserved for our Father in heaven. So as we think about hallowed be thy name, that's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. Hallowed, referring to our God, the Father in heaven. You know, that thought of hallowed being reserved to our Father is just like in the Old Testament when it speaks about reverend is his name. It only applies to him. Man is not worthy to wear such title as that. Reverend is his name. The more we think about those truths, the more we're reminded of it, the more we just give him praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Bless your heart, the better in tune our heart is for our day. Because we're in a better frame of mind to know how dependent we are upon the Lord. We're in a better frame of mind to know how great he is, how loving he is, how merciful he is. And all those, when we think about those loving attributes and glorious attributes of our God, the more we are willing to humble ourselves before him and ask for his help and his guidance. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As we start our day, what did he say? Whatsoever ye do in word or deed. That covers it, doesn't it? I believe it embraces our thoughts as well. So when we think about whatsoever we do, do all in the name. Be mindful of him. You know, the Lord told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, keep the Lord in our mind. Keep him in our heart. Keep the awareness that we walk before him. He, his all-seeing eye. He sees all. He knows all. He's able to do his will, whatever it might be. And so, as we think about whatsoever we do, as we start our day, then let's remember to do all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise and thanksgiving. That's a good way to start your day, isn't it? Be mindful of those things. Sometimes we, part of our praying needs to be for cleansing of our conscience, purging of our conscience, cleansing that we need. We understand that our Lord and Savior, when he shed his precious blood, he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. I understand that. But you know, in our conscience, we realize we come short sometimes. I don't know about, well, I do know. Sometimes things happen and we may say something that we shouldn't have. Now, y'all probably don't have as big a problem with that as I do, but maybe we say something we shouldn't have said. You know, as harmless as it might be, or, you know, we may not have been thoughtless about what we said, not necessarily directing something to someone, but we may have just said something that somebody took the wrong way. The quicker we can say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I need your help. This old flesh can pop out so quickly. We just need to remember. And so, John, 1 John 1 and 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Now, that doesn't mean we didn't have eternal forgiveness through the blood of Christ, but in our conscience, in our awareness, we have to realize, just like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, Paul was born of the Spirit, but he had to confess, oh, wretched man that I am. The good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Sometimes that happens. And so, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like the brother used to say, we need to keep those accounts short. Need to remember, Lord, we come short every day. And we need to ask the Lord, please forgive me for my sin. And isn't that what Jesus taught us in the model prayer? I mean, everything we say that will probably, you could go to the model prayer and it would be touched on by those short principles that he gave us in that little model of how we should be praying. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's interactions with others. And so as we think about, sometimes we need to be confessing our sins. In Psalm 51, David had committed a grievous sin. All sin is grievous to God, but you know the situation with Bathsheba and all those things that David was dealing with, that he got distracted, got lifted up in pride, committed this sin, tried to hide it. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of effort or we have to understand when the scripture says David was a man after God's own heart, he still was a natural man. He made mistakes. He made grievous errors. And in Psalm 51, I like to refer to Psalm 51 as the language of repentance. David's crying for mercy unto God. When he was finally confronted with his sins, he knew it wasn't hidden. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. He made acknowledgement of it. He said, against thee only have I sinned. A couple of verses I want to get to, though, is verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David needed that confession to God. David needed that conscience to be purged. And we do, too. We do, too. We need to confess our sins, knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Faithful and just. Bless your hearts. That complete forgiveness that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, what a blessing to think about that on a regular basis. Part of our praying at times, we need to be praying for renewal and strength. You ever get discouraged? Do you ever get tired in the way? I hope you don't get tired of the way, but we get tired in the way sometimes. We need renewal. We need strength. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes joy is just not to be found. But it's the joy, you know, Nehemiah tells us it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. But if we're somehow bogged down in the what's happening in this world, and it happens. It happens sometimes. We need renewing. We need strength. I don't know of a better passage for that than was it Isaiah 40? Isaiah 40. Toward the end of that chapter. The whole chapter is good. But to the point of renewing us and strength, as the chapter comes to a close, let's start at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? See, that's good for me to remember. There's no limitation with God. He fainteth not, neither weary. You know, even of our Lord Jesus, it said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. I tell you, sometimes I hear people talking about the Lord and they just make him too human. They just ascribe some weakness or failure or something. And I say, uh-uh. That's not what this book says. He shall not. Now, he got tired. He was weary, but he never failed. Never did he fail. Never was he discouraged. Never. So it says, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. You need some strength. You need some renewing. We know where to go. And we can go to him in prayer. Aren't you thankful we don't have to go to Jerusalem? Aren't you thankful there's not some geographical location that you have to go and kneel down to some altar? This is the temple we have today. We can go to him in an instant in prayer. Just the thought. He can discern the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, he knows it altogether. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I am so glad that passage does not say that he's touched with how you can describe your infirmities. But he is touched by the feelings. Remember Elder Sonny Pyle one time was speaking about how one of his granddaughters called him when he was off on a preaching trip, which was most of the time in his latter years, at least. And his granddaughter had a question for him. Since Jesus was good in every respect, why did he have to suffer? That's a good question. Children can ask wonderful questions. Well, his answer to her was, he had to suffer so that we could know that he knows what it's like to suffer. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, he knew all things, but he experienced those things. He never failed. He was never discouraged, but he experienced tremendous suffering. He experienced tremendous suffering at the hands of men. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Peter told those Jews, "Ye have taken it by wicked hands, have crucified and slain." He said, "No man taketh my life from me." So they did not overpower him. His hour had come. It was time for the Father's will to be done. And Isaiah 53 says, "He shall see," that is the Father looking down upon the Son, "he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." God the Father was satisfied with the offering of his Son. Jesus never offered himself to us. He only offered himself to the Father. And the Father was satisfied with that offering. He never failed. He was never discouraged. But we fail. We get discouraged. We need strength at times. And we know where we can go for it. He giveth strength. I may be getting ahead of myself. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I tell you, that's good news to me. I need to be reminded of that. He says, even verse 30... I'm in Isaiah 40 there. Verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. You know, when you're young and vigorous and got plenty of strength and stamina and energy and so forth, us older guys that's been around a while just can't keep up. But he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fail. But, I like that but. But, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. Now, in one sense, waiting is something we don't like to do. But sometimes it's necessary. Especially when we're calling upon the Lord. There's a sense in waiting that you're serving while you're waiting. But nonetheless, they that wait upon the Lord. There's some renewing. There's some strengthening that comes. That's what it says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. How impressive this creature that God made, the eagles. The way they can fly so high, have such strength that just stay at it for the long time. And the way God designed them and all that's involved there. But they shall renew their strength as eagles. You know, eagles have to go through a molt every now and then. And it looks like they're dying. But they come out stronger, renewed. I feel like I've had to molt a few times in my life from time to time. Sometimes life beats you up. Sometimes you get to a place where you don't know where to turn. Well, we understand that expression, getting to a place where we know. I remember Uncle Willie one time, not too long before he passed away in the nursing home. He was in such a frame of mind that he just kept saying over and over and over, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And that brother loved the Lord as much as anybody I know. But he was saying, I don't know what to do. Well, there's times when we get to that place. But let's, may God help us to remember, we know what to do. Turn to the Lord. And wait upon Him, casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? You're going to remember that? I tell you, those are wholesome words. They're good for you. They'll help you. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I need that. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. To me, that sounds like rest while you labor. Didn't Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest your souls. I quoted the second part of that, didn't I? There's two rests in that passage. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I tell you, there's that wonderful rest when we come to the Lord. We use that, I guess I misstated that, didn't I? We're always drawn to Him, but we use that idea of coming to Him. But that rest is given. The second rest of that passage is found. It's a found rest. When we take His yoke upon us and learn. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. There's different aspects of our praying that we need to tend to all throughout our day. Praise and thanksgiving is a good place to start. But I tell you, if you got a heavy heart and you got troubles, you might start somewhere else in your day when you wake up. But it's all a necessary part of it. I'm just kind of laying it out as the day might progress. So, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord can give us the strength we need. Sister Leslie's great aunt, Jessie, she passed away a number of years ago, but when I was pastor of Mount Tabor Church up in Missouri, her husband was a big man, and he had Parkinson's. and she was his caregiver. And every day, I don't know, she may have had somebody come in from time to time, but the way she was telling us when we stayed with her one night and preached at the church where she was a member, and in tears, she would describe to us all the labor that she had to expend throughout every day that came taking care of the one she loved. She didn't mind it. It was a labor of love, but it was a tremendous labor. I guess I had preached that night on praying without ceasing, or at least touched on it in the message that I'd preached that night. She taught us something about praying without ceasing. She said, "Brother, when you go through what I have to go," she said, I do everything I could and get him to bed, and I'd just fall in my chair, exhausted, every night. And she said, "When you go through that, you learn what praying without ceasing is all about." That taught me a lot. There's a lot of things that's involved in prayer. Whatever our need might be, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He strengthens us. He gives us what we stand in need of. And I'm so thankful that he knows exactly what we need. Sometimes in our babbling, we are asking for this and asking for that, and that's not what we need. And I'm so thankful the Lord gives us what we need. And I'm thankful that he's not limited to what we ask for. Because there's plenty of things we need that we don't have sense enough to ask for. Our God is so good, so merciful, so kind. Let's praise and adore his name and ask for his help and strength that we need. You know, it's okay sometimes to ask for some blessings. That's part of praying too, isn't it? Praying for our needs, praying for the needs of those we love, praying for the needs of others that we're aware of. There's plenty of things that we ask for blessings. You know, when the kids were growing up, there was a book we had. They liked the Berenstain Bears. And one of those books is The Berenstain Bears Gets the Gimmies. And good lesson in that book. Sometimes God's people get the gimmies. But it is okay, on balance, for us to ask what we need. Jesus taught us, give us this day our daily bread. We're not asking to fill the cupboard with next week's bread. Although sometimes our prayers touch on things like that, seems like. But he said, give us this day our daily bread. That has to, you know, I can't say that without thinking back to the manna that fell in the wilderness. It was only good for that day. Except on the seventh day, it would carry over from the sixth to the seventh. God had his reason for that, right? So they wouldn't have to labor on the Sabbath. But think about that. God provided for their needs every day. And those things that they gathered up, those that gathered up much didn't have too much, and those that gathered little had enough. And God just took care of them. Beyond their limitations and their weaknesses and whatever, God took care of them. Took care of their shoes, their clothing for 40 years. Isn't that a marvelous example for us to look at and say, surely God still cares for his people as much as he did back then. So we go to the Lord in prayer, because he's the one that's able to bless. He can provide. He knows what we need. You know, there's also in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Remember an Old Testament character by the name of Jabez? He offered a prayer that in all of these names and genealogies, there's a couple of verses there that speaks of Jabez and the prayer that he offered. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. What I want you to see here, and what I'm getting at here, is that he's offering a prayer, and he's asking for some things for himself. But he doesn't have the gimmies. He's not asking amiss. He's an honorable man. I take it from that he's walking before the Lord. That he loves the Lord. And if the Lord says he's an honorable man, then that tells me he's honoring the Lord. So it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. I don't know what that would be like to carry a name all your life that spoke of sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Didn't the Lord himself in the model prayer teach us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? This man making quite a request here. But you know, Jacob, let's see, it was Jacob, wasn't it? He made a vow with the Lord if he would be with him and provide for him. And that's a lot of what Jabez is saying here. And my point in this is it's okay to ask the Lord to bless us with those things we need. The reason I say that is because the rest of this verse says, and the Lord granted. And God granted him that which he requested. He wasn't asking for millions of dollars. He wasn't asking for his enemies to be slain. He was an honorable man. And God blessed him. Time's getting away. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. I'll try to wrap this up pretty quick here. In the midst of a lesson on giving, Paul says something by the inspiration of the Spirit about how giving God is. Remember, Elder Ferris used to say, you can't outgive the Lord. I'll amen that. But listen to what he said. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. You know, probably the biggest reason why some folks don't give more than they do is they think they might not have enough left. But this says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, this is a pretty comprehensive verse here, may abound to every good work. Now, does that mean that you're supposed to go give everything to everybody? No. The verse preceding this said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. If we're walking close to the Lord, if we're seeking his counsel, the leadership of his Spirit, trying to do his will, trying to be useful in the kingdom, trying to be a help to whoever we can and mindful of those that cross our path, we're walking close to the Lord as he purposeth in his heart. As you follow the leadership of the Spirit, that's what we need to follow. That's what we need to gauge ourselves in. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He certainly manifested his power, the Lord manifested his power many ways and many times. But you know, there were times when there was a lad, there was 5,000 men besides women and children, and they were hungry. Of course, the Lord knew what he was going to do, but he said, he told his disciples to feed them. I'd have liked to have seen their faces, wouldn't you? Well, they were just astonished at how much food it would take to feed such a multitude. And then one spoke up and said, well, here's a lad here that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, was it enough? It was more than enough. The Lord blessed it and began to break it and give to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the people, and they were all filled. And the disciples gathered up 12 baskets of fragments. Wow. Now, I know you've heard that story 1,000 times, but aren't you still amazed at the power of God and the willingness that he would provide for all of those? And what a marvelous example that is to show us that God can do what he wants to do. He can provide. Just like he caused the manna to fall in the wilderness, he divided the loaves and the fishes and multiplied them. the time that Jesus was questioned about paying taxes. Or no, it was somebody asked, doesn't your master pay taxes? And so rather than offend them, Jesus sent Peter down to the sea, told him to cast a hook. Can you imagine Peter walking down to the sea? I'm not trying to impugn him and evil thinking or anything like that, but just, you know, you go down to the sea and you cast a hook, and the first fish that you catch, you look in his mouth. And he did that, and there was a coin sufficient to pay their taxes in a fish's mouth. Let me read that again. I'm just scratching the surface on that. But and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, to every good work. Not every whim of your desires, but for every good work. God is able to make all grace abound. My point is, he can bless as he pleases. I'm just reminding you. I know you know that, but I'm just reminding you tonight. God is able to bless. It's much better to ask the Lord humbly, submissively, for him to provide what he knows we need. So sometimes our praying needs to embrace asking for what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. I won't take much time further, but we also sometimes need to be praying about serving. Serving. We can't serve two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. You can't serve both. But serving should be a big part of the life of the disciple. It was big with the Lord. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now that's keeping his word. That's also loving others and doing for others as we should. You know, Matthew 25, when he divided his sheep from the goats, and he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And he went through a whole list of things. They said, Lord, when did we do this? The Lord's making a point of that because it was something that was noteworthy. So they said, when did we do these things? He says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Serving is big with the Lord. He that would be greatest in the kingdom, what did he say about that? Let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. You find that in Matthew, you find it in Mark, you find it in Luke. Serving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord said that, didn't he? You know, that's one of those interesting statements. You don't find it in Scripture, but when Paul says the Lord said it, it's in red letters. So he said it. The Spirit inspired it. He said it. It's true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we should be looking for ways to serve. I've often said, if you ask the Lord to put somebody in your path that you can be a help to, you better get ready. Because he answers that pretty quickly. You know, when we get toward the end of our day, it's good for us to think about the day ahead. But let's always remember, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. We can lay our plans, but we need to ask the Lord for his direction. But it's good toward the end of the day to think about that. Ask the Lord to bless. See, and like I said, there's a lot of things I haven't covered tonight. You know that. Lots of things about praying that I haven't dealt with specifically. But when we can address the needs of our day by taking it to the Lord, by starting the early part of our day, casting our care upon him, asking for his help, asking for the leadership of his Spirit, knowing that the Lord knows what's going to happen today. I don't, but Lord, I may need your help in a certain situation. I know I need his help all the time, but things happen. And if we have that frame of mind early in the day, then if something does happen, we're not blindsided. We're better prepared to face it, because we're trusting the Lord every step of the way. And when you can lie down at night knowing that you've done that and that you plan to do it the next day, then you can sleep better. You can rest better, because you're resting your care in the Lord. Prayer is so important. Somebody once said it's like oxygen for the soul. When we don't pray, when we get negligent in our prayers, when we get like George Washington got one time, and he said he had to repent of his prayers, then it's like our soul is short on oxygen. We get weak. We need that conversation with our God. We need to cast all our cares upon him, knowing he cares for us. We need to confess our sins. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, purge that conscience and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Prayer is so important. There's so much more that could be said about prayer. Bless your hearts. May God help us to spend our day with an attitude of prayer. May we somehow learn that lesson about praying without ceasing. Cast all our cares upon him, knowing he cares for us. May God bless you, is our prayer.